Hi, I am Jennifer Curtis. I'm the Texas Infertility Prevention Project Coordinator for, the state of Texas in the Region 6 IPP. And we're doing chlamydia positivity among young Hispanic men and women seen at Texas border and non-border family planning clinics. And why is everybody way back there? Okay. Okay, first of all, why did we do this in the first place? Texas shares a 1,200-mile border with Mexico, and we know that there are several family planning agencies along that border providing services to that population. And reproductive health care and STD testing and treatment along the Texas border has been impacted by that cross-border flow, which the border flow has ebbed and flowed because of political issues, but also the violence across the border. The Texas Infertility Prevention Project family planning clinics provide services to all individuals regardless of residency. How many of y'all are familiar with the Infertility Prevention Project? That's everyone. Very good. So basically, it's a chlamydia and gonorrhea screening project. It's a collaboration between family planning, STD, other clinic site types, and public health labs. And like I said, the Texas IPP is a part of the federal Region 6 IPP. Okay, this is where I'm going to give a disclaimer. It's not the typical presentation about racial disparities. What we're looking at is disparities within the Hispanic population. And so our entire data set is comparing Hispanics to Hispanics based upon location, knowing that geographic location and community culture impact these differences. So we have 12 family planning agencies in our study, and those 12 family planning agencies have multiple clinics throughout the state. And why the 15 to 25 data set? Within the Texas IPP, there's universal screening among 15 to 25 in family planning clinics among women. But the project also supports screening of male partners and those seeking services. Our border clinics serve primarily Hispanics, and our non-border clinics are more racially and ethnically diverse in their client population. And I don't have my pointer, but in case you didn't know what Texas looks like, but I wanted to explain how we divide border versus non-border clinics. And so we have 8 border clinics that are in 2 counties along the Texas-Mexico border, kind of in the middle, along the Texas-Mexico border. And those are, like I said, 8 clinics. And when we did border clinics, we're talking that these are clinics located in cities where you can literally walk back and forth across the border. So you don't have to get in a car and drive all the way to Corpus Christi, where they have sister cities across the border. But then our non-border clinics are located mostly in major metropolitan areas like Dallas, Houston, Fort Worth, and then some out in the West Texas area. Our 2 objectives were to assess factors associated with chlamydia infection among young Hispanic men and women visiting these Texas IPP family planning clinics, and compare border and non-border client characteristics and chlamydia positivity. Chlamydia positivity was calculated by sex, age, and location, so the non-border or border clinic status, using our 2008 IPP data set. And that data set had over 113,000 test records. Of those, 15,738 records were from male and female Hispanics age 15 to 25. And like I already said, there were 29 clinics in this data set. 8 of those were considered border clinics. So our study sample. Remember, our entire data set is Hispanics. And these are test records, not individual clients. So you can see that our study sample, about 18% were 15 to 17 years old, just over 20% were 18 to 19 years old, but well more than half were 20 to 25, so more than half of our study population are the young adults. Not unusual, overwhelmingly, our sample is female. However, the 7.8% males, that is slightly higher than the national average of 5% of males visiting family planning clinics. And we have 45% of our records coming from those 8 border clinics. and 55% coming from the 21 other clinics. So we have a lot of testing going on in our border clinics. Okay, so characteristics based on age and sex. So this is, we're gonna compare the border and the non-border clinics now. And you can see that the border clinics, they're testing an older population. The majority of their tests are coming from the 20 to 25. So they're not testing as many younger teens as the non-border clinics are. And they are seeing more males than the non-border clinics. And this is just a more detailed breakdown of age, showing that the light blue is the border clinics, and it's showing that they're, the highest number of records for them are coming from the 20-year-olds, and it still remains fairly stable up to 25 years, and so they are seeing a consistently older population. And the non-border clinics, I mean, they're seeing the 17, 18, and 19-year-olds. And I find this interesting because I know that my border agency, they have a teen clinic twice a week, and in their teen clinic, they still tell me, well, the majority of the teens that come in are the 20-year-olds. And once again, breaking it down, age, male and female, based on border and non-border location. And once again, they are seeing, the border clinics are seeing an older population in the males and females, but especially in the males. 76.2% of the border population is 20 to 25 in males. Okay, so what about chlamydia? Because that's what we were looking for. Our overall sample, the chlamydia was 11.4% positivity. We had less than 1% gonorrhea in this study sample. So not a lot of gonorrhea in our young Hispanics, in our family planning clinics at least. And so this, once again, our overall study sample, we're gonna look at this, the same measures, but with chlamydia positivity. And we've got 13.2% in our 15 to 17-year-olds, and then it raises slightly to 14%, but then not surprising, you see that dramatic cutoff at 20 where it drops to 10.1%, so a lower positivity rate in our 20 to 25-year-olds. Once again, not unusual to see a higher positivity of chlamydia or gonorrhea, of just disease itself, in males in family planning clinics, because males who visit family planning clinics are usually contacts to a positive female, or they're symptomatic, and so they're more likely to be positive. However, 19.9% positivity is very high. And then we also have a higher positivity rate in our border clinics versus our non-border at 12.6%. So we have the pretty typical trend in the females, you can see by age and chlamydia positivity, where it's higher in the younger and then it starts to drop as they get older. So we have just over 13% in our 15 to 17-year-olds, then it drops slightly in the 18 to 19-year-olds, and then you see once again that cutoff when they're over 20 years old at 9.1%. Where the males, it's just the opposite. You're seeing the lower positivity in the young teens, and then it dramatically increases as they get older. So you're seeing 21.3% in the 18 to 19, and then the highest positivity among the young adults in the 20 to 25. And why that is, can't really say. Maybe the older males are having sex with the younger females in this population. I'm not sure of the answer to that. And then this is just showing, once again, age and male breakdown, border and non-border location. But this is just showing that the border clinics had a higher chlamydia positivity regardless of age, so in all age groups and in the male and female population. So what did the data show us? Once again, the border clinics are seeing substantially more Hispanic males, and they're seeing an overall older population. Chlamydia positivity is higher along the border, and this holds true regardless of age group and regardless of sex. Hispanic males have a high chlamydia positivity regardless of clinic location, 20%, very high. But also our gonorrhea is very low in Hispanics along the border and non-border family planning clinics, at least in our younger, our under 25 population. So the limitations of this, first of all, the small percent of males in this population, which is once again not unusual in family planning clinics, but we had a small percent of young Hispanic males in this data set. But then another one is our definition of border versus non-border. We were constrained by geographic location in our data set. Our 2008 data set, we only had one agency that was considered a border clinic, and it's located in the McAllen area, and it basically covers two counties along that 1,200-mile border. And so I wonder what this data would look like if we had clinics from maybe the El Paso area or from the Brownsville area included in this data set. And we do now, for the 2009 and now, have an El Paso clinic that we can compare this to. It's also limited to demographic characteristics. I mean, we're looking at sex, age, and clinic location. We don't have reason for clinic visit, and we don't have risk factors to look at. So what does it tell us? That we have, first of all, that this is just the beginning. This is an initial study that actually just created more questions. Like, who are the males accessing care in the border clinics? Like I said, we don't know the reason for visit, and we don't know if there are access to care issue in these clinics. We do know that these border clinics are seeing more males than our non-border clinics. And is this something that we can use? Is there something that we can learn from those border clinics that can be used in other groups or other clinics? Because we know that family planning agencies are trying to bring in more males into their clinics. Are the sex and age differences in border versus non-border sites affected by clinic screening coverage? So once they're in the clinic, who gets screened, male or female? We know that screening coverage is not 100%, so once they come into the clinic, how is it determined who gets screened and who does not? And we are already in follow-up discussions. We have shared this data with our clinics, and we're talking to them about, you know, what does this data mean to you? And they're helping us put it in context and come up with those other questions and, you know, possible data collection that we can do. And that's it. Questions?
Thank you.
I actually have a question.
Yes.
Do you have a sense of why you're seeing an older population in the border clinics? Because it looked like you had a higher percentage of 20 to mm-hmm. 24.
20 to 25. And I don't have an answer to that. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the things that we're guessing is, you know, because we're talking about the cross-border population flow, is it the older people coming across the border
right.
and seeking services? We also know that our border clinics tend to be more of a healthcare home for their clients than our non-border mm-hmm. clinics. And so maybe
right.
it's just that they're staying.
Right.
But I do find it interesting because the border agency, the border clinics that we were looking at, the majority of their clinics are located fairly close to a high school, mm-hmm. But they're also located close to community colleges mm-hmm. and Pan American College.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also some of them that are very rural clinics,
right.
and so maybe there is a transportation issue.
Right.
So mm-hmm. there's lots of questions to ask.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
That's an excellent question.
Can you repeat the question?
And the question is, can we merge our IPP data with other data sets like clinic records? And yes, but with a lot of complication. The client unique identifiers that we have in our IPP data set may not necessarily match clinic records. So it could be difficult to do. Plus each of our clinics use different types of clinic record systems, and we collect their IPP data in different formats as well. So yes, it's feasible, but yes, it'd be very complicated.
Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.